in verses 13 through 22. We're preaching through the book of Acts, and it's a dramatic shift in mood from the book of Matthew to the book of Acts. Seeing what Jesus did with his disciples, and then seeing what they're doing with what he did, it's just a shift of mindset. Everything is shifting, and it took a minute for me to start to get the feel of it, but I feel like that the word is starting to perk me up. I feel like it's starting to perk up like it's supposed to. Amen. Sometimes the trials of life just kind of get you sidetracked, but we are here in the power of the Holy Ghost and under our own power today. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, beginning there. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord knows how to shut the mouths of their heads. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called, they wouldn't even say it out loud, Brother Philip. Yeah. They didn't want to dirty their mouths with it. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all. And then they finally had to say it, in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for this glorious, beautiful, crisp Sunday morning, and for gracing us with your presence walking in this building among us today. And as we preach this word with you listening and watching, help us, Father, to do it effectively from a pure heart, graciously speaking words that will lift the heart and the faith and the minds of us as believers.
Yes.
For your work that you are doing among us to be completed today or begun, such as it may be. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you want the Lord to continue, finish, or begin a work in you today, say amen.
Amen.
If you missed our Bible class today, you missed some fantastic insights and revelations in the Holy Ghost. We might call those things that transpired words that were spoken off menu. And sometimes I don't think you realize that the ones that are here that something off menu has happened. But quite a bit of off menu was cooked today, and it was delicious. Hallelujah. The title of my sermon today is Don't Back Down.
Amen.
Don't back down.
Yes.
Amen. We'll get to that here in a minute as we lay the foundation. Being with Jesus changes you. Peter and John were just ordinary men, common men, uneducated men. But they were astonishing men. Because there's nothing more astonishing than a man or a woman who has been with Jesus.
Right.
And now these religious rulers and lawyers in the temple were very intelligent in their own way. And,
and they have their degrees and all, but even at the young age of 12 years old, Jesus had them outwitted and on the ropes. Now, I could just talk about how great Jesus is here for a little bit if I had the time, if that was what I was going to do today. But suffice it to say that the most intellectual and highly intellectual minds in the day that Jesus walked the earth were outwitted by Him when He was 12.
Amen.
You can't be around Jesus and be the same as you were.
Amen.
You'll either be better, or you'll be worse, but you won't be the same. These men had degrees to match their high education, and they had names with long histories of money and power behind them. Amen. But being in college with Jesus will level the playing field. Amen. Being a follower of Jesus puts you in company with the Ancient of Days. Being a follower of Jesus puts you in contact with the angelic hosts of heaven. Amen. In whose presence the Bible says that the prophets of old, when they came in the presence of an angel of God, that they fell on their faces, their strength and their bodies left them, and they collapsed on the floor and could not move, because the angels in heaven are so great and powerful. No wonder, because they even stand in the presence of God day and night worshiping Him. When you're in the presence of Jesus, it will change you. And everybody around you will know that you've been with Jesus. Paul said to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When you've been with Jesus, you're going to be new on the inside, and you're going to be new on the outside.
Amen.
He said later to the church in Corinth, amen, or earlier in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." When you've been with Jesus, you won't think like you used to think. When you've been with Jesus, you won't talk like you used to talk. When you've been with Jesus, you won't act like you used to act. Amen. However subtle, you cannot be with Jesus and stay the same. Jesus elevates our speeches and our actions. Hallelujah. These commoners, these uneducated men, were astonishing because they had been with
Jesus. Hallelujah.
They spoke boldly and courageously and clear. Even I wonder if our speech betrays us. If we spend all our time on Netflix and Facebook and TikTok and YouTube, it will reveal itself. God didn't call us to give in to the culture and go along with whatever sins our generation is generating. God calls us to stand up and to stand out and to stand our ground. Amen. And to be lights in a dark world. Hallelujah. And I know you're not Peter and James and John, but I believe there are some things we have in common. What do we have in common with these great men of God? What do we have in common with the likes of Noah and Moses and Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah? And what about the whole host of famous men and women throughout God's plan that the Bible reveals to us? The thing that we have in common with them, even as they all had an encounter with God. They went through a transformational moment in their lives. God spoke to them. He got a hold of their hearts, and He called them to live and to act courageously.
Yes.
Noah preached righteousness to a world that was filled with violence, to people whose thoughts were only evil continually. And he built an ark.
Yes.
Moses liberated a nation in slavery. And Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Yeshua the priest. Amen. They rebuilt the temple in the city of Jerusalem from the rubble of a 70-year captivity. And they all endured the doubts of the people that were trying to rescue on the one hand, and the opposition of their enemies on the other hand. And we are just like them today. We hold the same faith. We hold the same God in our hearts. We hold the same calling on our lives. And we display the same courage that they did, and the same faith.
Amen. And we're going through the same struggles,
yeah, amen,
that they did as well.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about, say amen.
Amen.
You're going to be different. The old is going to pass away and the new is going to come. And you're going to great, irritate, and challenge the rulers of wickedness. Jesus said in John 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you.
Amen.
Before it hated me, before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Come on now. John started his gospel off by saying, amen, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Amen. He invited them into the light, but they refused the light because their deeds were evil. They loved the darkness. John said they loved the darkness. They refused to come, and they hung their Messiah on a tree. They betrayed him. They assassinated him. The world is going to hate you when you been with Jesus, because you bring conviction down on them, because the light exposes the wickedness in their lives, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's just the way it is. But you got to press on anyway.
Amen.
If you're not willing to fight a little bit, you may not be up to the challenge that Jesus has called us to in this hour. If you're not willing to put up with the irritations and the grating and all of the opposition that comes to you when you try to be with Jesus. There's a lot of people I've seen over the years. God calls them out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He places His love on them. He puts His power on them. And it starts stirring inside of them, Brother Anthony. And they feel like they can conquer the world.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And then they come in contact with a brick wall called the enemy.
Yes.
Or the enemy comes in contact with them. And the question is, are they going to be a brick wall?
Amen.
Jesus said in John 15:21, but all these things they will do to you on account of my name. I've even heard other Christian denominations subverting and talking and stabbing us in the back at worship events in our community. I was in one event and we were singing and the power of God was falling, and when we got done we were stepping down and you could hear it be said amongst this other quote unquote Pentecostal Christian group that now the real Pentecostals are going to get up. Lord have mercy, when they got up and sang, I thought to myself, if they're the real Pentecostals, we all in trouble. Hallelujah. But did that stop me from going to the prayer closet the next day?
No.
Did that stop me from opening up my Bible and loving on the Lord, reading about Him? No.
Amen.
Did that stop me from preaching?
Nope.
The word of truth? Did that stop me from worshiping God with spontaneity and abandon and recklessness, did that stop me from living the proper way before Him in this world? Let me tell you something. Amen. When you have been with Jesus, it will even irritate religious people who are backslid and cold-hearted and don't even know what they're talking about half the time. And maybe they're just immature. I don't know. Amen. But when you've been with Jesus, none of that will move you. Amen. Because something's moving you that's greater. Amen. There's something inside of you greater. Is He that is in me than He that is in the world. There is something that happens inside of you when Jesus comes into your life. It will rain on the people around you, but so be it. I'm going to love Jesus anyway. I'm going to worship Him anyway, because I've been called to heaven. I've been called out of darkness, and I'm living in such a way that no matter what anybody says about me, I could care less. Amen. Because I've got something. I've got a treasure that was hidden in the field. I've sold everything that I have to buy that field.
Amen.
I know what I've got.
Amen.
I know who I've been with.
Amen.
They love to be above you. They love to have you struggling and suffering. They love to manipulate you and use you for their own ends. They will confront you, subvert you, lie about you, stab you in the back and run you down. They will do whatever it takes to knock you out of the grace of God. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your denomination is. Amen. I would never stand between you and your pursuit of God.
Amen.
I prefer that you was in my denomination. I prefer that you came to my church. I prefer that you sit on these pews and paid your tithes here and worship God with us. But I would never come between you and your pursuit of God and run down your denomination. How many times have you heard me run down another denomination? I make fun of ours. I make fun of all denominations because that's just fun. But have I ever come to you and sit you down and said, let me tell you something. That denomination, you're a part of something. No, you're not going to hear me say that because I'm not going to come between. I've talked to Catholic people and they've asked me about things. And I've said, well, you need to come out of that idolatry. Hallelujah. You need to come out of that idolatry and stop worshiping Mary and stop doing this, that, or the other. And that's all true. Amen? But what good would it have done? I told them this. I said that I believe on your path towards heaven that you'll experience the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I encouraged them and challenged them. But I can't call them. That's God's job.
Amen.
And I can't make their decisions for them. That's their job. But I'm not going to back down from what I believe.
Amen.
I'm not going to let go of what I believe. I'm not going to let go of what I know to be true in the Word of God and what I've experienced Him. I'm going to hold on to what I've got, if you please. Hallelujah. I'm not going to back down one iota, amen, from the Word of God and from my experience with Him. And I tell you, sometimes it feels like all the fiery darts in hell. Every one of those demon archers is busy at work and they've got a bucket full of their darts and their arrows. And they've got a whole can full of poison on one side and a whole bucket full of, amen, of tar and pitch on the other. And one of them's standing there with his little bit flicking it back and forth, lighting up all those fiery darts. Some days it feels like they're all coming down at the same time on top of you. Amen. It seems like nobody's with you and you just want to peel your skin out and get out of your own body because of the pressures of the spiritual warfare that come down on you sometimes. Hallelujah. Yes. But you need to stand your ground.
Amen.
And don't back down, amen, from what God has given to you or from what He's called you to.
Amen.
You've got to stand your ground.
Yes.
Hear what I'm saying to you today. You've got to stand your ground. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 of the New Living Translation, it says this: don't be intimidated. Everybody say intimidated. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Let me tell you something. I've been in a few theological conversations that were intimidating. Because somebody threw me one of those. What's Paul called them? Just contention, contentious questions and thoughts and ideas. And sometimes I've wrestled with those things for years, and 10 years later, God will show me the truth.
Hallelujah.
I've been set back on my feet a few times. Hallelujah. But I found this out over the years, that when I feel intimidated, I can walk into a prayer closet.
Yes.
You spend some time with Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
You can argue till you're blue in the face.
Right.
But if you'll just spend some time with Jesus, He may tell you there's no answer to that. But here's a question you might ask. Oftentimes Jesus didn't answer any questions. He just asked more. Sometimes you can answer more with a question than you can with an answer.
That's right.
Amen. Well, y'all see, well, he just went off that deep, didn't he? What am I saying? Don't back down. You don't know the answer? Welcome to the club. You know somebody that does, don't you?
That's right.
Get in that prayer closet and talk to Jesus. And it may not be what you think it is. You may be wrong, and they may be wrong. Both of you may be wrong. How many times does that happen? Because God don't get in the middle of our arguments. Look up, God's coming to Jesus. Said, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. Jesus said, who made me a judge over you, buddy? Get me involved in your nonsense. Do not, Paul told the church in Philippi, do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God Himself. Don't back down.
Right.
Stand your ground.
Yes.
But Anthony, don't back down. Stand your ground.
Amen.
That's right.
What you're doing, you're heading in the right direction.
Amen.
The devil's going to do everything he can, blow every wind against you, throw every storm he can at you.
Oh, yeah.
The disciples were told by Jesus, go to the other side. It's getting dark. Just like a pastor to tell you to do something that didn't make any sense, right? Go to the other side. And and as the sun was setting, they were rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up and began to beat the boat up, and the waves crashing and the wind blowing. Brother Philip knows that you can't get very far in your boat. You can have a big old fat engine in there, but a big old fat wind will let you know who the boss really is.
That's right.
I saw, we were down there at the Two Rivers restaurant one time eating, and there's a bunch of rivers that come together there, and the water just, it's moving through there. And there was a boat moving up against the water. I bet it moved from here to here like the whole time we were eating. They wasn't getting anywhere. I don't know if they were just cruising by. It just seemed like they were trying to get somewhere, and the water was just pushing them back. And the disciples, as Jesus prayed up in the mountain that night, the disciples were caught in the wind, and the wind was blowing and the storm was blowing against them. And I believe that the devil caused that storm to come up against them, because they were on their way to the other side, to the Gentile side, to meet with a man who hung out in the cemetery and who ran around naked and who could break chains off of his hands. They were on their way to take down a demonic stronghold. Let me tell you, sometimes you don't know Jesus to say get in the boat and go to the other side. And you don't know what you're getting ready to do. You don't know what's on the horizon. You don't know what's going to happen on the other side. You're just doing what Jesus told you to do. But he neglected to tell you that the devil is going to throw a storm against you with winds and waves that were going to stop you and try to sink you and do whatever they can to keep you from going and doing what God said. But the Bible says, after midnight, in the middle of the darkness of the morning, Jesus came walking to them on the water. And you know what they were doing? They were still rowing, trying to get to the other side. Jesus said, get to the other side. Must be we can get to the other side. I don't care what kind of storm the devil throws at you. Noah didn't back down.
Amen.
Moses didn't back down. Amen. The exiles didn't back down. And Peter and John did not back down. And we must not back down. But stand our ground. And
say what Peter and John said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you need to figure that out for yourself. But we're going to keep speaking of what we have seen and what we have heard.
Amen.
There's no need to be quiet or run and hide. God didn't call you to cower in a corner. And there's no need to yell and threaten them back. You know, too often we act like human beings. Too often we act with our carnal minds instead of the spiritual mind.
Amen.
And the carnal mind tells you to do one of two things. I'm sorry. Don't be mad at me. And if that doesn't work, the carnal mind will tell you the other thing.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'll knock your head.
Peter and John, they didn't cower. Nope. They didn't get violent or hurl accusations either.
Yeah.
But they found a truth to stand on. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're going to keep talking about what we have seen and heard.
That's right.
And we know that Jesus died. And we know that He resurrected. And we know that He poured out this Holy Ghost. And we know that He just walked in and healed this lame man who was born that way 40 years ago. And you can talk to God about it, but we're going to keep doing what God called us to do.
Amen.
Because the powerful works that Jesus does through us and in us will speak for us. God knows how to shut the mouths of your enemies. How does He shut the mouths of your enemies?
Right.
First of all, you need to stand your ground.
Yes.
You start backing down, then they're going to think they got the upper hand and think they're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the Holy Ghost right. You hear what I'm saying. You don't back down. You don't have to be a wimp. You don't have to be a bully.
Amen.
But you do have to have a backbone.
Yes.
And you do need to stand on the truth that God has revealed to you.
Amen.
You're not going to do yourself or anybody else any favors by running and hiding and apologizing and backing down. And you're not going to do yourself or anybody else any favors by swinging. Paul said, I don't fight like somebody who beats the air. I don't shadow box and swing wild and swing so wild and hard that I fall over on my head because because I'm so out of control. But He said, I bring my body under subjection.
Yeah.
Amen.
You stand your ground.
Yes.
And God will back you up.
Amen.
Don't you ever say, God's going to back you up. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. God's going to back you up. Hallelujah. You're not standing your ground. You're standing on holy ground.
Amen.
You're not standing on your own two feet. Hallelujah. You're standing on the rock, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And you think that God's going to let the devil invade His territory so long as you're standing on the Word of God and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is burning inside. You think, amen, that God is going to let Jesus be defeated in your life. You think God is going to let the devil get the last word in your trial and tribulation. Oh, come on, somebody. Wake up and smell the coffee. God's backing you up. Jesus said in John chapter 14, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works for themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Very well.
Thank you, Jesus.
up Noah and sent a flood on the earth and killed everybody but saved him and his family. He stood his ground and God backed him up. God backed Moses up. He sent plagues to Egypt and brought the people of Israel through the Red Sea. Amen. And he crushed the army of Pharaoh on the bottom of the Red Sea. Moses stood his ground and God backed him up. God backed up the exiles. Amen. He helped them rebuild the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. And he made their enemies pay for it. Let me tell you something. Amen. God is going to back you up. You stand your ground. You stand for truth. You stand for Jesus. And God will back you up.
Amen.
And God backed up Peter and John. Hallelujah. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's exactly what they did. And in the name of Jesus, they asked for a lame man to be healed. And God backed them up with a miracle. And he's going to back you up too. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to back you up. Stand together today. Amen. Stand up on your feet right now. Clap your hands and a shout of praise to Jesus.
Somebody shout his name in a praise to him.
Going to back us up in our lives and in our work for His kingdom. Amen. If you've been feeling the struggle to stand your ground, amen, then it's time to join us in a time of prayer and ask God to strengthen your resolve a little bit more.
Yeah.
If He's called you to preach, you will preach.
Oh my God.
You may fool around make light of that call, but God will throw you in jail and make you preach. If God calls you to do it, you're going to do it. If you fight with Him, He'll kill you in the process, but He'll make you do it. He'll swallow you up with a whale. He'll take you into a prayer meeting on the bottom of the sea. What a stench. Can you imagine being crunched up inside of the belly of a whale? The lining of that stomach oozing the slime all over. The stench of the vomit of dead fish in that whale's belly. God told you to it. He'll back you up. But if you back up, you're backing into the wrong person.
Amen.
And I know what it's like. I know what the struggle is like. You feel it too. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more that the world gets irritated around you.
Amen.
The vibrations of demons begin to haunt you. But that just means you get closer to break it through. God tells you to row your boat, and you row in your boat gently down the stream, and the devil throws a storm at you. Just keep on rowing. Because Jesus is having a prayer meeting on the mountain, but He's going to come walking to you on the water, and He's going to let the peace come into your life. And He's going to take you through the storm and get you to the other side. And He's going to work a miracle. And somebody, this is the thing, the devil won't let a soul go without a fight. Amen, Brother Philip. We've been reaching for some souls. And I mean to tell you, it's been like a barrage. But last Sunday, you could feel it break out. And before that, you could start to feel the shift in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together right now. Don't back down. Please, I'm asking you today, whatever you do, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't back down. Don't step back. stay in the lane that God put you in. Keep pressing forward against the wind and against the storms and against the demons and the devils and against those human spirits, contentious, jealous, envious, power-tripping control freaks that try to shut you up and shut you down. You just keep stepping forward in the name of Jesus. In the power